Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
All right, if you thought that was something, you should have seen him just run into the studio with his Captain America shirt on today. David Garrard here, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Welcome into Jaguars Today, 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, clearly the two biggest quarterback runs in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguar franchise.
No doubt about it. And I know he gets goosebumps still every time he hears it, don't you?
Every time.
Do you? I do. I do. I wasn't at the Brunel game. I was at your game, and it was crazy. We were coming down from the press box in those final couple minutes, like getting in position to watch it all on the sideline. It was exciting times, man, no doubt.
The thing that gives me goosebumps is the things that I would hear after that, all the people's stories, where they were, what they were doing at that time. We were at this bar and the whole place went crazy. I mean, just hearing everybody's story of what they were doing at that time.
We knew where Brad Meester was. He was holding like six guys at once, which is fine.
But at least Khalif wasn't holding anybody. So.
That's right. I mean, look, Meester laughed about it afterwards. I mean, as they say, holding probably happens on every play, technically, in the National Football League.
It's only hold if you get
I thought it was, let's focus on the run, the nimble feet of number nine, David Garrard. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Doing great.
Having a good week. Wrapping up the month of May here. Jaguars on the field for OTAs. An important time. You don't want to overstate the importance of it. It's the first couple of practices that they've had as a 90-man roster now with the rookies having the rookie minicamp coming in. Thinking back to your days both as a young player and as a veteran player, what's it like when you're mixing with so many new teammates at this time of year?
Well, it's a great time of year because, like you said, there are so many new teammates that you have to start, you know, figuring out, how does this guy play? How am I going to work with this guy? How are we going to mesh? How is the offensive line going to come together? And that's what OTAs are. You want to get a feel for everybody because it's a little bit more relaxed time than training camp and then definitely during the season. So you can, you know, you can stop. You can talk about things. Coaches will pause practice and go over things a little bit more in depth than they will in training camp. Once you get to training camp, it's like it's time to roll. So OTAs is a great time for teaching, for learning, for trying to figure things out. Maybe it's something that you'll work on today that you're doing it for the first time and you're just trying to see, you're trying to get a leg up, you're trying to get an edge, and then maybe it doesn't work. You know, maybe it's not something you can really do that well, and so you're like, you know what, I need to go back to what I was doing before.
Yeah, you know, you look at it and you go back when you came in behind Mark Brunell, you were not brought in like Blake Bortles is brought in to ultimately for sure be the incumbent. You know, he was taken third overall, so we know at some point they want to get him in as the head of the organization, the quarterback of the organization. For you, what kind of reps were you getting in the first year of your career?
Well, during OTAs, I was actually getting a fair amount. You know, like I said, it's OTAs. Mark was a little older, so he wasn't trying to take every rep. Now, it was so weird because when we got to training camp, it totally changed. He took so many reps, and I thought, wow, where are my reps here? You know, just like it was in OTAs. And then when we got to the season, I didn't get any reps. And I thought, how am I going to be ready? How am I going to get on the field and produce if I'm not taking any practice snaps? And I quickly learned that you have to do things before and after practice. And you just got to have that ability to be able to step in and make plays.
Yeah, how much time did you spend doing that? Because we've seen Blake Bortles the first couple of days out there, and the other young quarterback, Stephen Morris, is out there doing it, and some other young players, not just, you know, we're focusing on the QBs right now, working on a different aspect of the game, even if it's for 10 minutes after practice. I mean, you can get a lot done, probably, I would imagine, in that time if it's kind of focused on some areas that you need to shore up.
Absolutely. So the things that I always would work on, if I missed anything in practice or if there's just things that I know that I struggle with, then I would work on them afterwards. I would come out a little early and do some things beforehand just so that I can get as many reps on those things that I tend to struggle with. Throwing to my left, throwing deep outs to my left was always something that I wanted to work on. And then just having my receivers out there, anytime I can throw to my receivers more than just what's allowed to me, I just felt like I'm getting that much better and getting that much in tune with them. So that was something that I always felt like it was something I needed. And then also not taking away from my running backs, just getting a great mesh point with them and then also working on my fakes afterwards. Those are little things that you can kind of forget about especially when you're a guy that is not looked upon to be the starter. Those are things you got to keep doing over and over and over again so that you don't lose those things, because a great play fake can get a lot of guys open, can really increase the run game if you're doing things the right way.
Yeah, you got to work on that muscle memory so it's just second nature.
Absolutely.
You go in the game and they all look the same. I thought it was interesting. I saw Joe Flacco talk about the fact that they didn't really have those kind of, you know, a lot of teams it's vogue to get together outside of the team environment. QB will get together with the receivers and the tight ends and throw. And he said this year, because they have a new offense being installed and they've seen the playbook, but they hadn't been able to talk it over with Gary Kubiak, that there was, he thought it was kind of pointless to get together prior to OTAs. You agree with that? I mean, is there value in just, you know certain patterns are a staple of every NFL playbook, I would imagine. There are certain routes that you're going to run. I would think there's some value is there to getting together and throwing at any point.
Absolutely. I think once you get closer to the OTA starting, you want to get some reps with your guys. And with the new CBA, you can't do a lot of stuff beforehand, before practices are starting. So you got to kind of go somewhere. You got to go to a local high school just so that you can, you know, just toss the ball around with the guys. I'm not saying go through, you know, a two-hour workout with them and you know, get everybody's legs tired. But you want to just start getting familiar again with the guys, just to get the rust off a little bit. And like you said, there are certain routes that they're going to be in every playbook. But there are little things that, you know, you can take from a new guy's, a new coach's playbook and say, you know what, we haven't done this before. Let's try to get a jump on it. Let's try to get a head start on it. And maybe the coach teaches it totally different than what you worked on, but at least you were trying to get some, a little bit of a head start with it.
Were you able to influence, the playbook later in your career? How much were your coaches, Jack Del Rio, probably in the prime of your career, receptive to you going, hey, look, I really think I do this well, and I think these receivers have these strengths. Can we add more of this to our repertoire?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't get everything that I asked for, but with Dirk Cutter, he would always ask me. Every Tuesday, he would say, hey, give me your plays that you like this week. If you see things in film, you know, jot it down, jot down the actual time of the play so that he could go back and look at it. Maybe it wasn't a play that was in our playbook, but it was something that I felt like would fit our system, and he would do it. And then sometimes they would actually put that play in, totally different than what he had in his playbook. So it was pretty cool to be able to add to the plays. And there were other quarterbacks that would, you know, kind of add information into Luke McCown. He was great at that. You know, he was a big studier of film and other teams. He would always be breaking down other teams. And he would bring in some plays. He'd draw them all up on the board. I'd draw some up on the board. And coach would come in and say, okay, well, explain this one to me. How did you see this one, you know, going through when you were watching the film? And we would do that. And he would say, okay, I like it. So then he would, it might not be the exact play, but it might be a play that we have that he would just change just a little bit to kind of fit that play, because the team we were playing, it worked against them.
I think it's interesting, the mental aspect of all this. I heard somebody talking about this week, Tony. I don't remember if it was in the locker room or listening to an interview on prime time. I'm not sure where it was, but it stuck in my mind. Where you study the playbook for so long, and then come this week, the coaches are game planning so specifically that half the stuff you're running is stuff specifically to take advantage of deficiencies in the other team. So even though you think you've got the playbook down cold, the learning is a constant process all throughout the season.
It is. And what's so funny is a lot of the stuff that you do in OTAs and training camp are a lot of the basic plays, the meat and potatoes of the plays, if you will. But then once you get to the season, every week it changes, and every week it seems like it's all new plays, and it's not even the plays that are in the playbook. It's a version of the plays in the playbook, and it would just blow your mind sometimes, because you're like, this isn't even stuff that we've studied and run, but they've seen it work.
We know it'll work against this team.
They've seen it work against the team, so we've got to put it in. And so, like, you're learning all new plays that week sometimes. It is weird.
How long did it take before you were comfortable with that part of it? Maybe not even your rookie season in OTAs. How long was it before you were comfortable with the basics that they wanted to run, and then that week-to-week grind of this is what we're doing in our install?
Well, my rookie year, I felt pretty good in training camp. Once we got to the games, you know, because they wouldn't give you a ton of plays once you got to the preseason games, and you only played for so long. But, man, I tell you, once the season started, and like I said, there are new plays that you never – and I was thinking as a rookie, I'm like, we didn't even go over these plays. where did these plays come from? And but you know what? They still expect you to learn. And as you get older, you start running a lot of these plays, and you start understanding, okay, I remember that play from 2 years
or
ago.
Or it's similar to this.
Yeah, or it's similar. Yeah. And so you start to bring it into your own kind of terminology and your own thinking. And that is how you get better. That is how you get faster on the field, if you will, because you've seen it before, and now it's easier to compute and to go out and run the play. Where when you're a rookie, if they spring a new play on you, you're like, I haven't seen that. Where did you get this from? How am I supposed to read the defense to get me to the right person in this play? But hopefully you can be a fast learner, a fast student of the game, and be able to compute it fast enough so that you can get out there and run the play.
All right, coming up today on Jaguars Today, obviously David Garrard's here with us for the next 2 hours. Tony and I got in early this morning, had a chance to talk with Ace Sanders, and I think it kind of dovetails with what we're talking about. When in-game, he talked about Steve Spurrier adding plays, just scribbling them up in-game, and this is what we're going to
like
do.
Like basketball.
And how effective it was in the immediate moment. It's a pretty interesting thing. We'll see that, or we'll hear that from Ace coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes here on Jaguars Today. Also, this morning, Tony caught up with Allen Robinson in the locker room yesterday. J.P. Shadrick, who is kind of a jack-of-all-trades with Jaguars.com Live. He's hosting Jaguars Thursday now with Tony Boselli and Jeff Logman. That's coming on tonight. He's going to pop in, tell us the latest from what he is into with the Jaguar organization. We'll talk plenty more about OTAs and Blake Bortles in particular with David Garrard, who's been through it. He lived through it. Blake Bortles, Marquise Lee, and Allen Robinson, by the way, out to sunny California for the rookie premiere, where they get photographed for football cards and all that kind of stuff. So they get excused from OTAs.
It's a fun time.
Did you get to go?
Absolutely.
There you go. We'll talk about that as well coming up if you want to get on board today. 641-1010. When we return, we'll tell you what the fan feedback spotlight question of the day is as well. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, glad you're with us here. David Garrard's in the club. Saw the X-Men yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
X-Men Days of Future Past yesterday? Not a surprise. All right, how's it hold up to the Avengers?
X-Men was awesome. I wanted to watch it all over again. The opening scene is amazing. I'm not going to give anything away because I hate when I listen to radio. And
just the battle scene. It was a good battle scene.
Great battle scene. Loved it. Yeah. Blink, I think you were telling
me. Well, I had to look it up. I wasn't really familiar. Tony's nodding his head like,
yeah.
Newbies.
Her ability was so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Very cool the way they translated it. I mean, what they can do now on the screen. You know, Avengers was, as Tony, I think, said, I'm paraphrasing Tony, X-Men was a little more like an adult drama.
Yeah.
And Avengers was just like comic book come to life kind of thing, you know. Both great.
Captain America, I thought, was very good, too.
The Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Phenomenal.
It was a spy thriller. It was a spy thriller comic book movie. That's
the
awesome.
Elevator scene was fantastic.
It was.
By the way, just fantastic. We are total comic geeks here in the room on Jaguars Today. And coming up, and we told you, Ace Sanders, about an hour away, our conversation. Tony and I got to sit down with him this morning. Very cool guy. And we're hoping for big things for him this year. And that dovetails, I love that word, with the Tom Bush family of dealerships who asked Jaguar fans, what drives you every day? The fan feedback spotlight today. Simply, what kind of year do you expect out of Ace Sanders and why? You know, more touchdowns, more receptions, less because of the presence of some of these rookies. We'll get into our thoughts on that a little bit later on. But you can tweet your responses to us at MD_1010XL, at DavidGarrard9, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and of course at 1010XL Lauren back at 1010XL World Headquarters over on Hogan Road. Joe Fortunato doesn't do Twitter, and that would be one more I'd have to remember, so that's probably a good thing. And as far as I can tell, Ace Sanders doesn't do Twitter either. I looked for.
He used to. He must have pulled it.
You think so?
Yeah, because I remember seeing him on Twitter before.
Well, we know he doesn't wear number 11, so he's definitely not this clown who's Ace Sanders 11.
No, he's not that guy.
Go read his timeline.
Trying to make mama
proud. There's some interesting people on Twitter, let me tell you what. Anyway, share your thoughts with us on Ace Sanders, what kind of season you expect out of him. Of course, at the end of the day, we award somebody a Jaguars Today t-shirt. You can also go to facebook.com/Jaguars Today and post your thoughts there. Before we get back into OTAs and this rookie premier thing that Bortles, Lee, and Robinson are going to, your fishing tournament coming up this weekend, nice guest list, including several, more than a few Jaguars. I hesitate to go through the entire list, but I'll try here to hit some of the highlights. Mercedes Lewis will be there. Jason Babin will be there. Jacques McClendon, Drew Nowak, Sam Young, Matt Stankavich. Those offensive linemen run in packs, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
They always run in packs, right? They run in packs in the locker room. They always hang together. Ernie Logan, former, I believe, ECU Pirate, Tony, back
yes.
in the day.
Yeah.
Now the defensive line coach at JU, Brad Edwards, the chief athletics officer over there, Jabbar Gaffney. Jabbar Gaffney, remember the knock on him coming out of college?
I don't, but we came out at the same time.
Small hands. Said his hands were too small. He went on to become a possession receiver in the National Football League.
I've been working out with him the last few weeks.
Have you?
Yeah.
How's he doing, all right?
He's doing great. He's still got some speed, you know, and he can catch the ball, so I that was hard to believe that.
He kind of, like, was still productive, and it's weird how that happens with guys sometimes. I don't know. You just kind of fall through the cracks. Maybe they're looking for the next young thing.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that a team was always probably trying to replace, and he would always get on somewhere else and make plays.
Exactly. Just a good safety blanket. Jordan Miller, you got a bunch of guys going. I know Blake wanted to go. Blake Bortles, we sat in here. You met him a couple of weeks ago, and he said he would love to go. Didn't realize at the time the timing was going to conflict with the premier, the rookie premier. But before we go any further, tell us about the fishing tournament. Can folks still get involved? Give us some details.
Yeah, you can, absolutely. You can go to fishingforthecure.org to sign up if you want to have a boat in it, or if you just want to get tickets for our MVP party, and you can meet all these guys at the party. I think the party starts around 6 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to have a live auction.
Where?
It's at Nippers on Beach Boulevard.
Important.
Yeah, yeah. Just show up anywhere.
Right, just show up. Hey, yes. Dave! He's not here. Let's move on.
It's at Nippers on Beach Boulevard. It's going to be a fun time. Blake is actually going to be a part of the live auction. Now, he's not going to be there, but we're going to probably have a golf outing with me and him with probably three other people. So if you want to be a part of that, or maybe it's dinner with us, or maybe it's going out fishing, whatever it will be something that he's already said that he would love to be a part of, whatever we wanted to do for the live auction.
Very cool. Very cool. It's good stuff. And you raise money for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation something that I guess you'll always have to deal with in some regard, right? But, it hasn't slowed you down a bit, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, for the past, 10 years now, I've been dealing with it, and I've been great. I just did with Will Blackman, we did the Crohn's and Colitis Walk, Take Steps for Crohn's. It was a great event. There were a lot of people there. I got to see a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers that are, you know, they're not doing quite as good as I am, but their spirits were so great that, you know, it really lifts you. And you could see kids out there, you know, carrying their colostomy bags and still walking, still smiling, still playing with their friends. It was a great event because it allowed me to see that, you know, even though that I am doing really well with my disease, there are other ones that are still struggling, but the way that they carry on, their testimony, the way that they can really inspire other people, it really showed me that, you know what, people are still affected by it, and don't forget, just because you're doing pretty good, don't forget those out there that are not. That's why we're doing this, to raise money for a lot of the kids, a lot of people that are affected with Crohn's and colitis. But also, my foundation is for breast cancer too. My mother passed away with breast cancer, so I do a lot of stuff for women that are fighting breast cancer, and really single moms that are fighting with breast cancer. That's what my mother was, a single mother. She did a great job. We have three brothers, and my sister. So there was a lot of mouths that were attacking the kitchen every time food came in. But she was always there. She was a nurse at the VA hospital. And so this is a way for me to be able to, you know, keep her legacy alive and do something for her and for all the other women out there that are affected by it.
Awesome stuff, man. That is really good stuff. And obviously, as we continue, we've had you on over the years, we'll continue to talk about all the great work that you're doing. Let's talk about what these rookies are doing right now, because you've gone through this. Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee are going to the rookie premiere, where you get, you tell us, but photograph photograph for football cards. Tell us, what is this event like, and what really goes on behind the scenes at something like this?
It's a really cool event. We did it in Santa Monica, out in California, and we were at Pasadena at the stadium there, and behind the scenes, you see all these awesome football cards. They have all these great poses, and, you know, you see guys flying through the air, catching passes, and they're landing on mattresses. I mean,
so you're telling me this is not like actual game footage that you're getting in a lot of these?
Some of them are, but when they're rookies, they haven't played any games yet.
Right.
So to get those cards, there a lot of them, they're jumping in the air and being caught by another player to help them absorb the land, and a nice Sealy Posturepedic is
nice
on the ground there too.
Then I'm assuming there's never been injuries out there. You would see the first twist
right?
the ankle, that's all done.
Yeah, well, that's why they have the plush pillow top.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, you got to have the pillow top,
yeah.
Man. That's the eggshell.
And it's all over the field. It's up in the bleachers. You know, guys are everywhere. They have a ton of cameras. You're there for at least 2 days taking 4 or 5 hours worth of just shots after shots. You're running from one spot to the next spot. There's somebody there that's dabbing your forehead, trying to keep you dry a little bit. And then there's other times where they're spraying you with a mister.
To make it look like you're working,
sweat.
Right?
Yeah.
Right,
so it's really cool. It's a great event. They
be
take
honest.
Care of you.
Be honest. As a rookie going out there, how much were you in the playbook during all that
how
time?
How dare they take off a day and not be in the playbook?
I brought the playbook, but there wasn't a whole lot of time to delve into the playbook while I was there.
So
too much beach action afterwards.
Vegas on the way back or on the way out there? How did that work out for you?
Did not make it to Vegas.
No? What do you think about that? I mean, in some circles, it's a big hubbub, and others, people think it's no big deal. Manziel's on his own time. Clearly, he's allowed to do it, but... is it a smart thing to do? Should he be spending that time trying to win the job with his nose in the playbook? Or is that not realistic to think, you know, you can do that 24/7?
Well, I just think when you're a young rookie, you want to have fun too. You know, you want to be able to go out with teammates, other players that are in the NFL and have a good time. And it's not like this is his first time out. You know, he's been doing it all through college. So he was just doing what he normally does, but he just happens to be Johnny Football. You know, he happens to be Johnny Manziel. And so everything he does is just put on blast. It was actually the first time I thought, why is anybody even covering this story? It doesn't make any sense. He's a kid out having fun with other players, you know. So that was the thing that was said that I saw. They said there was a ton of other players in Vegas. Like there usually is.
There's always a
yeah.
ton of players in Vegas,
you know,
my understanding.
There's a ton of businessmen out there. There's a ton of people. It's Vegas. He wasn't doing anything crazy, but he just already has such a following with media and fans and all that stuff that anything he does is blown out of proportion. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Yes, you still want to be in your playbook some. I'm glad he brought it. I did see a picture of the playbook.
Right.
I don't know how much he was actually looking at the playbook, but at least he brought it. He had good intentions.
I don't even know if he's drinking. I know he's spraying the alcohol. That's the big thing. Was that a thing in your how recent? Now, that this makes me sound old and
yeah.
way out of touch. But, I mean, I'm not aware of the spraying of the alcohol
no.
and the making it
no.
rain and all those
no.
other things
no.
that people like to do. But
that is not my generation.
Is that not your generation?
No.
It's apparently mine.
Is it?
I can tell you I've been out to a couple places here in the last couple of years. And the best parties I've been at About 2 hours into it, somebody pops a champagne bottle
and they're spraying.
And then it's on. Like, no. From that moment forward, it's on at that party.
I guess my generation, there were sparklers with the drinks when they brought them out. That was the only thing that...
Oh, yeah.
There was no spraying.
Ours was
I did not come to get
where
sprayed.
Can you get the liquor the cheapest?
Yeah.
and in great volume.
I was in that generation, too.
Yeah, sink or swim was a popular phrase back in the day, as was quarter beer night. I want to get it. We'll take a break here, and we'll welcome in J.P. Shadrick on the other side. I do want to get into... the concept of, we hear it all the time, the speed of the game as you're a rookie entering the league. What exactly that refers to? Are we talking about the athleticism of the players themselves, the tempo of the way you run plays? What exactly is the speed of the game? Because I heard some interesting comments from Gus Bradley on that this week as well. So we'll get into that as we go along. He is David Garrard. That is Fat Tony over there. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL. And we'll welcome in J.P. Shadrick next right here live at EverBank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars today, about 40 minutes away, Ace Sanders. You'll hear Tony and I, Tony and my, you'll hear us talk to Ace Sanders in about 40 minutes.
Tony and
that?
I was correct.
Tony and I, well, I was going to say Tony and I spoke with Ace Sanders. That would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind. I'll just leave it at that. All right. Ace Sanders coming up in about 40 minutes. I should have just gone with that, and that would have been fine. David Garrard in his regular superhero garb today. As I was still, we're going to get into that whole speed of the game issue. Plus, Tony caught up with Allen Robinson yesterday in the locker room post-practice before he went off to get his rookie card.
He has no idea what he's in for, by the way.
I asked him about
what are you doing in California? He's like, I don't know.
I get the sense because, I mean, when Blake came in here a couple weeks ago and Dave's like, what do you think about that weekend? How's that weekend look for you for the fishing tournament? He's like, sounds great. and I hate to tell you, you left and then Ryan Robinson popped in. He goes, he has no idea. He's out in L.A. that day. I hate to tell you. So it's just one of those things. Let's welcome in our friend J.P. Shadrick. Hello, J.P. Shadrick.
Hello,
welcome to Jaguars
Mike Dempsey,
today.
How are you? Was that a Warren Zevon comeback music, by the way? I think
Warren,
it was.
Warren Brooks, Warren Zevon, right there?
No, Hank Williams Jr.
I'm glad I didn't just say yes.
Right.
That was Hank Jr. right there.
Mm-hmm. So, Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Oh, is that Hank
That's
Jr. Lawyers, Guns, and Money?
That's Warren Zevon.
J.P. Shadrick's pretty adamant that that's Warren Zevon.
Right. How you doing, guys?
We're good. We're good. All my rowdy friends are here right now. So, is this the first time, literally, that you and I have ever spoke on the radio before together? Have I had, maybe on occasion? Is it?
I think it might be. Actually,
you've done a lot of Suns updates, but never on my show.
I don't think we ever did baseball together.
No, we did not.
And I don't think we've ever done anything. I don't think I've ever been on your show
We're
otherwise.
Great
so thanks a lot
rivals.
For the invites all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, same here,
pal.
Because, Dave, I have one show, okay? As we just ran through the resume of J.P. Shadrick, he's got 16
you ran out of ink.
Different shows that he's going right now. My pen is dry right now. We see you on... and not necessarily limited to Jaguars.com live.
Hold on. You were on that show, by the way.
I was on that show.
Which is not on the radio. So technically, you're right.
You know what? How quickly they forget. You had me on a couple weeks ago.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much.
For like
that.
A minute and a half.
The
That's
gift basket was phenomenal, by the way. You know, I had that little Crown Royal bag that I carry my recorder in. Did you hear? D-Rock thought I got him a bottle of Crown Royal for coming on the show yesterday.
Nice.
Just so you know.
I like bourbon. So
Garrard's been on with me. 50, 100 times, I don't know, over the years.
What'd you get, Dave?
Nothing. He's got nothing.
Nothing.
He's got a hearty handshake.
A handshake.
And a
high five.
That's what he's got. Yeah.
Jaguars.com live with Osher, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Inside the Jaguars, which basically anytime practice is going on.
It's driven by Tom Bush, but yes.
We love Tom Bush around here. They drive a lot of things on this program. We love the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Jaguars Thursday now, you've taken over the reins.
That's on 1010XL each week. Yes.
I've heard of that station.
With Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli.
And that includes tonight, of course.
Yes.
And Jaguars Monday in season with Buscelli and Prisco.
And Prisco.
Good luck getting a word in edgewise there.
Yeah, I'll just sit over there and be quiet.
I would suggest having Garrard on as a guest on that show. Anytime.
Do you keep up with him, boys?
It would be fun.
Dave would be our good buddies.
Yes. we go back a long ways.
They do go back
Let's
a long
talk
ways.
About this, Dave. Let's get into this.
Please.
How about
please.
The history of that? Huh?
I have a headache now.
and of course, you edit all the stories on Jaguars.com as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Give us all right, off-season.
That's about it.
What are you trying to accomplish on a weekly basis to capture on Jaguars Thursday? Because you got Pacelli, who's going to talk. You've got Logman, who loves to break it down. What are you guys after on a weekly basis?
There's a little mix of that. And it helps right now. Players are in. OTAs are here. So there's stuff happening on the field. Of course, there's an extent to what we can say about what happens on the field, but...
Nothing,
which is nothing. But you get an idea of who can run and who can do some things. And now this week, we're starting a new feature on Jaguars Thursday. Jeff Logan is going to sit down each week with a member of the personnel department, scouting department, and get kind of behind-the-scenes look. Guys like Chris Polian and Cub Driggers and guys who've been around for Andy Dingler. So each week we'll have a different one of those guests. And analyze maybe a couple of guys in the pre-draft or free agency period, what they thought of those guys then, and what they think of them now a few practices in. So that'll be a new feature each week. Jeff Logan will sit down with one of those, and that'll start tonight. Not sure exactly who's going to be on tonight, but we'll have the first one tonight.
Just for you, observing the team and observing the growth of the Shad Khan regime, what are your feelings about where things stand right now going into 2014?
Well, personally, I got here just past the two-year mark now for me here at the Jags. So Shad had taken over the team, I guess, the previous December officially, or January right after that 2012 season.
Had you, by the way, had any luck getting him to adopt you? Because I have not.
It's still a work in progress.
I've given up.
The application is in.
I moved on to Dave. Dave wants a kid, and he doesn't want to wait 9 months. I'm his man.
I might have to fall in your footsteps on that one.
I'm his man.
No, so I came in the May after that. Lamping had just taken over as president then, and there have been, you know, from that day that I got here in May of 2012, the whole front office is different. The whole football side obviously is different, and it is night and day from when I came. Not that it was bad before, it's just a whole different world in just 2 years of me being here. I mean, I can't imagine somebody like Dave, you've been around for a while, and guys have been around the organization, covered the organization like you have for a long time, the difference from 10 years ago. I mean, a lot has changed, but it's a real quick change in 2 years. A lot of things going on, all positive, too. I mean, it takes a little while to get that out and make sure that it's what the president and the GM want. You have to build a foundation somehow, and it takes time to do that. I think that's here. That's in. Now you can grow from that, and I think that's the positive.
All right, Shad Khan's walking down the hallway.
Yeah.
All right, and J.P. Shadrick's heading the other direction. You say, hi, Shad. You say, hi, Mr. Khan. Hi, boss.
It depends on the day, I think.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. No. He's very down to earth, man.
I know he's very down to earth, but this is a serious question, and I'll tell you why in a minute. What would you...
I think this is a trick question.
It's not a trick question. It has nothing... It's a trick on me.
It's a trick on you. I don't trust that.
I hear Dave refer to Wayne as Mr. Weaver a lot, right? I mean, and I would never... I would be the same way. Mr. Weaver, Mr. Khan. I see Mark Lamping around the building, I don't know, every other day, whatever, and I still call him Mr. Lamping. Now he's mad at me. He told me he's running me out if I don't call him Mark as of yesterday. So,
well,
I'm just curious, like how far familiarity goes up the chain here.
Well, yeah, I go Shad.
Okay,
he goes JP, so I go Shad.
There you go.
You know, and I think that's fair. And I think he wants to be a normal guy. I think.
That's fine. He's a normal guy with $3 billion and the world's largest yacht.
Normal. And much better hair than me.
And fantastic hair, great jeans, well, maybe his DNA, too, but rocks the designer jeans with the sport coat, and he's got the dress shoes with the Nike Air inside built, custom-made. It's good to be Shad, right?
It doesn't suck.
No, I would think not. You know, looking at from what you've seen, without getting into specifics, JP, mm-hmm. I'm going to shut you down because I know you want to break down the specifics of what you've seen in 11-on-11s.
I can't wait.
Just your impression on the field last year to this year, overall. I mean, it's only a couple days and a rookie minicamp, but what are your impressions?
A little better veteran presence, guys who've been around the league that are that understand what this system is about. You know, last year was a lot of new guys, a lot of bottom of the roster churn, guys they just bring in to kind of get that foundation set. Now you got guys like Red Bryant, who's been around the league for a while. A guy like Ziggy Hood, who's been around the league for a little bit. Not old guys, but guys who've been around a little bit that know and understand what's going on defense. Same on the offensive side. A guy like Beatles. He's not an old guy. He's been in the league for, what, 4 years? But he has experience in the league and understands it and works in the zone scheme up front and fits in well with Jokel and the other guys on the offensive line, at least so far. I think that's the real, for me, just looking at it on the inside, there's a little more of a presence now of guys who understand the league and how to operate in the league and operate in the system. Whereas last year, it was the first year in, and nobody knew what the heck was going on. They were trying to figure out if it was for real or not, the whole environment and the scheme and everything. Well, now it is for real. It's legitimate, and there's guys that can come in and take it to the next level. And I think that's what's different now.
Dave, when you came in, how important was it to be able to look around the locker room and say, he's been there, he's won playoff games, he knows what it takes to have success, to give you that confidence, like this organization has some institutional memory of the right way to get it done?
Yeah, I always thought that was a great thing. I always waited to see how free agency would turn out, to see if we would get any big splashes of guys that have been there, done that. You know, guys that you can say, I've seen this guy catch, you know, 10, 15 touchdown passes before in the season. I know he can make plays. I know he can go out there and get it done. I've seen this guy, you know, run with the ball, or I've seen this guy make a ton of blocks and make big blocks for his quarterback, you know, those kind of things. That's what other veteran guys want to see. They don't always want to see a lot of young guys coming in. They don't want to see a lot of young free agents coming in that they've never heard of before, that, you know, the organization is taking a chance with. You need those guys, but you do want to see those, you know, kind of bigger names that you can say, I've seen this guy do it. I know he has the ability, so let's go roll with him.
Is there a fine line, though, between a veteran who's been around the league that knows a lot and a know-it-all? I mean, a guy really has to come in and kind of adjust to the scheme and the system, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want a guy that's going to be a good guy in the locker room, a guy that can adjust to your scheme, that's not coming in with his own mindset and his own attitude towards things. You want a guy that is going to gel well with your rest of your locker room, but then also enhance the locker room too, because he has his own travels from around the league, so he has his own kind of ways to do things. Torrey Holt was one of those guys who came in, and all the receivers, they looked like little puppy dogs, little ducklings walking behind him because they were just trying to absorb everything he had to say. And it was so great for those guys, because there were still so many things after he left that they would still do and still follow that he showed them. You know, so those kind of things are really cool. We would have loved to have gotten him, you know, maybe a couple of years before, but he was still great, just the way that he conducted himself on the field, the knowledge that he had. So those things are great. I've always wanted to see those kind of things. Like you said, you don't want to have too many of those guys, because now everybody's trying to, you know, project their own attitude, project their own things in the locker room that, you know, kind of can hurt the locker room sometimes. But you do want to see some of it.
Torrey Holt's 100-yard game, at least to my memory, it was only one 100-yard game, came against, of course, the Rams. Who he played? Did you guys? Do you remember? Did you
I
guys
do.
Say,
yeah,
let's get him some catches? In
absolutely, and he was saying it all week too.
Was he really? Yeah. I don't. Mike Peterson never let the Colts thing die. Never let it die. And it would have been great if Torrey Holt had come in. You ever see Torrey's finger? It's Larry Bird-esque. It's like bent out to the side. He should get one impressionable rookie who's wide-eyed and tell him, look, here's my secret. I had this surgically done. It's why I've been able to catch,
like a web.
So many passes in the National Football League. This is the way to get it done. All right, tonight, JP.
Yes.
Jaguars Thursday.
Yes.
And every Thursday on 1010XL. And then as the season gets going, you'll have the Gus Bradley show with Gus and Jeff Loggeman, and then you'll follow with Jaguars Thursday immediately after. But tonight from 6 until 7 o'clock.
6 to 7, Jeff Loggeman in studio tonight. Tony Baselli is going to be on the phone. He is not in town this week, but he'll join us for a segment. And
you can manage him better that way.
Actually,
you slide the
you
button
can just
down.
Hang up the darn phone.
There you
if
go.
He gets too mouthy, he's done.
See?
So, and then also the Scouts Eye premiere tonight with Jeff Loggeman and somebody from personnel. That'll begin tonight. We'll have that every week. And as you said, once the season begins, gets closer to the season, Gus Bradley shows the first hour, 6 to 7, and then 7 to 8 is Jaguars Thursday. And then I think Jaguars Monday's 2 hours too.
When of course, pre and post game show, all that stuff. You're all over. You are an omnipresent man with the Jaguar organization on the broadcast. And any dirt on Osher you can share with us?
Not that I can share on air. No.
Okay, we'll share later. Yeah, we'll see you out at practice later. And then finally, the most important question: favorite ice cream flavor? What do you got?
Well, peach, of course. I mean, why not?
Just making sure.
Come on.
That's our man, Juicy Peaches Shattery.
Let's do it.
JP Shattery. I don't even want to know what JP really stands for, because you've had so many. Juan Pablo was fantastic, and it's good stuff, man. Good to see you.
I kind of like this one, I'll be honest.
Juicy Peaches?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, Jaguar Pride, I thought, worked well as well. So he's got a lot of monikers. He's got a lot of hats he's wearing. Catch JP tonight on Jaguars Thursday, frequently, weekly on Jaguars.com Live, inside the Jaguars. Doing something today out of practice?
No, I'll just stand there and watch practice today. No, hanging out, and we'll have Inside the Jaguars this afternoon on Jaguars.com.
We will hang out and dish on Osher.
Yeah, that'll take 2 hours.
That's what we'll do. Thanks. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
Don't be a stranger. JP Shattery.
To see you. You too.
Breaking the radio seal with us here on Jaguars today.
Been a while.
Coming back, we've got this date in football history. Tony sits down with Allen Robinson, and we'll discuss with David, what do we mean when we talk about the speed of the game being the biggest adjustment for these young players coming into the National Football League? It's Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony, J.P. Shadrick here with us on 1010XL.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM, Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. Second-year receiver Ace Sanders sat down with Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony this morning before day three of OTAs began, and reflected on his rookie campaign.
It went pretty well. I hit a couple bumps along the way, but that's just all rookies do, just trying to step in and learn the system right away. It got a little rough, but I had good guys around me, you know, Cecil Shores and Mike Brown, that actually helped me out a lot, along with Coach Sullivan.
Hear the full interview with Sanders coming up at 11:20 on Jaguars Today. The Women's College World Series begins today in Oklahoma City, and in just about an hour, the Florida Gators face Baylor, and then the Lady Noles take on number one ranked Oregon at 2:30. The series between the Spurs and the Thunder is all tied up at 2, and we'll bring you the pivotal Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals tonight at 9 o'clock, live from San Antonio on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM, Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. More Jaguars today with Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and David Garrard comes your way next on the new home for the Jaguars, 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Oh, this date in football history. Compelling always in the month of May, because a lot happens in football history in the month of May. It's brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, and a whole fat lot of nothing really happened on this date in football history as far as I can tell, except for the rookies going off to the rookie premiere. I hope they brought their playbooks. I hope they're getting better. I hope they're competing within themselves to be the best Bortles, Lee, and Robinson that they can be. That's all I got for you. There's really not a whole lot. What's going on? Who else got arrested, Tony? Bernard Pierce get in trouble?
They didn't get arrested. Here's what happened. Bernard Pierce, Jacoby Jones, and Jimmy Smith, the cornerback for Baltimore, got thrown out of a bar because they were too drunk over the course of the weekend.
Is this an organized campaign to resurrect Ray Rice's fantasy stock? Because Taliaferro, the rookie, got busted over the weekend. Now Bernard Pierce gets thrown out of a bar.
Yeah, he broke a window in a taxi cab?
Allegedly broke a window in a taxi cab.
Well, the window's broke it's not, Mike.
We didn't ask JP about taxi cab confessions. That be the best part. Have you ever seen JP when he picks up the rookies at the airport and they do like the taxi cab confession thing where they got the camera in the car? So he does an interview with them in the car on the ride over. It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
A little behind the scenes. Kind of thing. Honestly, all kidding aside, Jaguars.com has really gotten innovative. I mean, they covered so many pro days this year with live video of what's going on, reporting like from the here's Clowney, here's Bortles, here's Manziel, here are the guys that Jaguar fans care about. We're going to take you there and give you that kind of insider access to. It's pretty cool what they've been able to do in that regard? Were they at the ECU Pro Day back in the day?
I don't remember. I think video cameras were just coming out at that time.
Is that right? Yeah, it's a Betamax or something.
There's somebody out there etching.
on a little slate. trying to, like a courtroom kind of situation right there. This date in football history, if you call it that, is brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225. They are a certified Invisalign provider and you get 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. In the meantime, go to jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of comprehensive care services. Coming up in a minute, Tony's conversation with Allen Robinson. We talked about the speed of the game aspect, okay? I hear... the biggest adjustment coming in from college to the pros is speed of the game. Does that mean you're talking about how fast the players are? Everyone's fast now. Are we talking about the tempo of the offense? I'm telling you, they're running crazy tempo at these practices, by the way. Gus Bradley said from his standpoint, when you talk about having a fast team, he says, I don't care how fast you are on the first play of the game. I want to know how fast you are on the eighth play, the ninth play, the drive. Some of all of that or something else? What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's actually a combination of all of that. But the game is faster from college to the NFL, period. Just guys are faster. Guys are training just to be players. They're not in school. They're not, you know, having to do anything other than just be professional athletes. So guys are definitely faster, and it's always the best guys from college. So it just gets faster that way. But then it's also faster because mentally it's faster for guys. So if you're a rookie coming in, you're thinking a lot. You're thinking about your own plays. You're thinking about what the defense is doing to you. You're thinking about where am I going to be living. You know, there's so many things that you're thinking about that the game is moving way too fast for you. You're having to figure out things, and it's not second nature to you. As you get older and... you know the plays, like the back of your hand. When you figure those things out, then you can just go out and roll. So now you speed up. Now you're, for a quarterback, now your footwork speeds up. Now getting the ball out of your hand speeds up because you're actually, you know what's going to happen before you even take your drop. That's how fast the game is. That's how slow the game is moving for you now because you're so far ahead of everybody else, it almost feels like the Matrix a little bit.
Or it's Quicksilver. I mean, they bring it back to the X-Men, right? Just running around the room.
Absolutely. That was a really cool scene, too.
That really was a cool scene. But so it's more like, literally, like, it's slow. You can process more because you are just more attuned to, you know, doing instead of thinking.
Yeah, exactly. When you're thinking about your own plays, you're moving too slow. You should not be thinking about your own plays. You should just be trying to figure out what the defense is doing to you. When you're at that point in your career, now you're able to manipulate them. You can say, you know what, I'm using my eyes over here to the right, but I know I'm throwing to the left. There's so many different things that you can do when you're not thinking about your plays and where your guys are. Are they lined up right? What play am I running? You know, when you're a rookie, man, there are so many things that you're trying to figure out, and as a rookie, you'll be in the huddle. As a quarterback, you'll say the play, get to the line of scrimmage, try to figure out what the defense is doing, and then you're thinking, well, what was the play? There's so many things that can just blow your mind when you're out there, and that's what makes you play slower, because you're thinking about your own plays and trying to figure the defense out, and you know, now you're trying to play catch up.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, Tony, I had a chance to talk with A. Sanders about that, among other things, transitioning from year one to year two, how much more prepared he feels. But, Tony, you got a chance yesterday to talk with a guy right now is dealing with that initial onslaught of the mental speed of the game, and that is Allen Robinson. Here's Tony's conversation with one of the newest Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here with Allen Robinson, second-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and day two of the OTAs done here. How do you feel like you're adjusting to not only Jetfish's offense, but you're rolling it thus far?
You know, just honing into the scheme and things and knowing what I have to do, you know, is the biggest thing. So I'd say just focusing in on learning the offense and knowing as much as possible so when I get out there I can play fast.
And I know you get the chance now. You come in with Marquise Lee and the Fire and Ice thing. Was that your deal? Where'd that come from?
No. I'm actually came from Coach Gus. He had said something about it in rookie minicamp.
You mind being called Ice? You want to be Fire or you'd rather be Ice?
No, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I really don't kind of focus on that too much. You know, just got to go out there and work my craft.
And working with Coach Jerry Sullivan as well, a legend, working with receivers in this league. What's that been like for you for the first couple weeks?
It's been great. You know, I mean, I've learned a lot. You know, I know it's only been a few weeks, but just, I mean, how much I've learned in them few weeks, you know, has helped me a lot, you know. So just trying to continue to get better each and every day and just kind of focus on what he tells us, you know, because he knows a lot about the receiver position. So just each and every day trying to take what he tells us and just trying to convert it to the field.
What kind of stuff is he trying to work with you guys on, especially during these OTAs, which are non-contact?
I would say, you know, just a lot of things as far as, like, different type of releases off the ball, you know, how we can get in and out our breaks a little bit better and things like that.
What do you feel like? I know Coach Gus talks a lot about identifying your weaknesses as well as your strengths. What do you feel like you need to be working on?
I'll just say always route running. You know, you can never be too good of a route runner, you know. So, I mean, just each and every day trying to go out there and just fine-tune that, you know, so I'm able to get off press and get in and out of my breaks, you know, just easy as possible. So that's my biggest thing, you know, just go out there each and every day and trying to be great at that.
Going back to draft week, Dave Caldwell has talked about that if Marquise Lee hadn't been there at the top of the second round, you were the guy that they were looking to get there. They trade back in to get you. You know, how cool is that for you to know this team wanted you, not a receiver, but you?
You know, I think that means a lot, you know, and just each and every day go out there and work. You know that you're working for a program who wanted you, you know. So it's not like they just took you because you were the best available or anything like that. You know, they have a vision for me, you know, and I have a vision for myself as well. So, I mean, I think that kind of works hand in hand, you know. And I'm blessed that they gave me an opportunity, you know, and they have so much faith in me as a player. So just, you know, I'm going out there each and every day and just trying to prove the Jaguars right.
And what kind of contact did the team have with you before the draft?
You know, I met with them at the combine and stuff. I talked to Coach Sullivan a little bit at my pro day, you know. So, I mean, I had a little bit of contact with them through the whole draft process.
And Coach Gus, opportunity to meet him. He's a real energetic dude.
Definitely. You know, I think that's something that kind of helps us, you know, especially me as a young player, you know, just trying to always keeping us motivated when we go out there.
And I know you're going out to California tomorrow, so you're going to miss the last day of the OTAs this week. What's going on out there?
You know, the rookie premiere, I don't know too much that's going on, you know, so, I mean, I'm interested to see. But, you know, at the same time, you got to get out there, you know, stay in my playbook and stuff and try to stay caught up mentally with everything that's going on back here.
And I know for a lot of the guys here, it's your first chance to go through all of this process. I know you go through, you know, the combine and then the draft, and you never have a chance to really catch your breath. You had rookie minicamp. Are you looking forward to just having a few days to just kind of stop and figure out where you are?
You know, I mean, I won't say it never really stops, you know what I mean, because Coach Sullivan has been on us already, you know, just to stay in that over the weekend, because when we get back, you know, they're going to be in OTA number 4, you know. So, I mean, it's nothing that's slowing down here in Jacksonville. You know, we're just going out there to California. So, for me, you know, I don't say it slow down too much. Same thing, just going out there, you know, staying in my playbook, you know, at the same time, try to find a way to get a little workout in so I don't lose shape too much, you know. So, I don't think it never really stops.
All the rookies signing contracts. I know you're still waiting on yours. Is that close?
You know, I have no idea. But, you know, I'm not really too worried about that right now. You know, just trying to maintain my focus on the field.
And give us a little bit of a taste. What do you enjoy doing away from the field outside of football?
Really just relaxing. You know, that's the main thing. You know, just now that this is a job, you know, it's a lot being thrown at us. So whenever I can possibly, you know, just kind of take it easy.
Do you play golf, anything like that?
No, I'm not really too big of a golfer.
Okay. Well, 10 seconds here. I know the fans of Jacksonville, they're really excited about having you here. What do you have to say to the fans?
You know, I'm happy to be here, you know, and I think that Jacksonville made a great move picking me, you know, because I'm going to go out here and work each and every day, you know, to be the player that they pick.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fat Tony with Allen Robinson, and I picked up your move now, by the way. Hacker used to tell me, and he was right, I'd always say at the end, stay healthy was like my thing.
Oh, I like asking them what they want to say to the fans.
10 seconds. 10 seconds.
With the new guys, what do you have to say to the fans, especially?
I think it's – look, I asked Gus Bradley. He's not a new guy. I ask all these guys the same thing. I just – Tony puts them on the clock, though, Dave. 10 seconds.
It's 10-10.
Spit it out there. By the way, a plug for the Fat Tony Show in this regard. Gabe Gonzalez, at Gonzo Gabe, on Twitter, we were talking about X-Men Days of Future Past earlier. He said, as a Jag fan and nerd, I appreciated the break from Jaguars today to talk comic book blockbusters. Future new segment. I would suggest listening to the Fat Tony Show 7 to 9
every
Monday
week.
Night. He gives
8:30,
you a movie review.
8:30 every single Monday night, I do a review of whatever came out in theaters.
They're not always comic blockbusters, no. But on the occasions that there are comic blockbusters, I'm sure they're included in the
list. I totally geek out.
I need to listen in on
for
that.
For about 10 minutes.
A big movie fan here.
You need to be locking and loading on Monday nights from
Absolutely.
7 to 9
yeah.
with Fat Tony. All right? We are going to take a timeout. We'll come back. Our conversation with Ace Sanders coming up next. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today live from Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming up momentarily, Ace Sanders stopped by today. Jeff Logman just popped into the Jaguars Today studio. Just giving him a shout-out tonight. He'll be on Jaguars Thursday with the new Scout's Eye feature, which that's kind of how it is, Tony. It's like if you're a Jaguar fan, you're a kid in a candy store at Everbank every day.
Sure.
Guys like Logman, you don't know who you're going to bump into. I bumped into Bob Babich going to get some bacon and eggs this morning. So I was going to get bacon and eggs. I don't know what Bob was doing. I was concentrating on the breakfast. Today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, asking Jaguar fans daily what drives you. In honor of Ace Sanders coming on the program here, we ask you, what kind of season do you expect out of Ace Sanders in year two, and why? If you have enough room in 140 characters, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, at David Garrard 9. Any or all of the above will work. And Facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Go and post your thoughts there as well. So here he goes, Ace Sanders. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today, sitting across from Ace Sanders. Now, no longer a rookie. Still a young guy, though. How you doing, man? Everything good?
I'm doing real good, man. I'm doing real good.
Yeah, how much more comfortable are you? You come in last year as a rookie. Things got to be flying around in your head, around on the football field. You got to play a lot, but coming into year two, you got to feel maybe not like a seasoned veteran, but a little bit more comfortable, I would imagine.
I mean, definitely more comfortable. Like I said, I get to play way faster. You know, I have to think twice about any of the stuff I do. So, you know, that kind of gives me, you know, the free ground to just move around and kind of add little things into my route running that'll help me get open. So it's way better.
When you look back at your first year, Ace, like, how do you assess your rookie season when you look back at it?
It went pretty well. You know, I hit a couple bumps, you know, along the way. But that's just all rookies do, you know, just trying to step in and learn the system right away. It got a little rough, but I had good guys around me, you know, Cecil Shores, Mike Brown, that actually helped me out a lot along with Coach Sullivan. So it wasn't as bad.
You come in as a kind of a middle round pick. Were you surprised how much you got to play? Obviously, circumstances, they needed to use you. They used you all over the place too. I mean, how much of was it kind of just spinning in your head with everything being thrown at you?
That was really, you know, the challenge. I kind of expected to come in and be kind of like a spot player. You know, whenever they needed me, they'll put me in certain situations. But you know, like you said, circumstances happening, you know, I kind of got thrown in the fire, had to learn on the go, and you know, it kind of helped me mature faster. So I appreciate it more, you know, because I got to see a lot of stuff in my rookie season, and it did nothing but just prepare me more for this season.
I know you mentioned Coach Sullivan. What's it like to work with that guy day in, day out?
It's awesome because, you know, he dates all the way back to David Boston. So, you know, when we watch film, you know, we watch film on David Boston, you know, Anquan Boldin's rookie year. And it's just amazing how long he has been around and how much knowledge he has of the game. And, you know, I try to take everything I can from him. You know, I might not use everything he teaches me in the game, but I know I can take something from him, and it helps every day.
It's interesting because obviously you're a smaller guy. You're talking about David Boston was massive, and Anquan Boldin's a pretty big guy as well. What can you learn from watching guys that are not similar type receivers to yourself?
Surprisingly, they were very fluid in their route running. And you would expect, you know, most of the smaller guys to be able to get in and out of cuts real fluently. But, you know, David Boston, Anquan Boldin, he had some guys up in Detroit, you know, bigger guys that were just real fluid and smooth in their route running. So that's what I look at, you know, how they stick their foot in the ground, how they're getting off the press, how they're beating the press. Just watch some of the little things.
Is that the focus right now for you in OTAs and the other receivers? Is it about not only installing the offense but making sure you're running routes the right way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really what we preach, you know, all the time. It's easy to catch the ball. You know, you've been doing that all your life. But it's hard to get separation in the NFL. So you need to know, you know, just the little tactics that you could use and take to the game. And, you know, it helps so much. You wouldn't even realize it. You know, it just helps a lot. Whether it's just a step here or a step there, it ends up throwing it off by throwing the DB off by a split second, enough for the quarterback to get the ball in there.
With that, does your size actually work to your advantage sometimes? Because you are quick, you're low to the ground, you can make those quick cuts in and out of breaks, and it's tough to get a beat on you.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely tough to get a beat on you. Probably like a DB's like worst nightmare guarding like a smaller guy that likes to run around everywhere. You know, they don't want to chase you around the field the entire game, so I always take that to my advantage and just try not to let them get their hands on me, because, you know, that's their advantage, so it's a battle the entire game for me, man.
The team drafts two wide receivers in the second round. What have you seen from those guys out on the practice field to this point?
Production. They're actually two solid receivers, you know, and they're going to help the team a lot. They got good attitudes, great work ethic. You know, they want to do nothing but learn. They're just real eager, kind of just like I was last year. So it's kind of exciting to actually watch, you know, another rookie, you know, go through what you just went through, just to kind of compare your rookie season. So, you know, I just try to help them out as much as I can, give them the knowledge that I know, since it's still fresh on my mind from my rookie year. And I just try to guide them the best way I can.
Jaguar wide receiver Ace Sanders here with us on Jaguars Today. Yesterday, you know, Coach said that he mentioned to you, it's a good possibility we're going to draft some receivers. And when you look at that, are you saying, man, here's some coming to take my spot? Or are you saying, hey, you know, here's some guys coming in to help this team, and it's going to make it a little bit easier on me, take some attention away?
Well, it's definitely going to make it easier because, like I said, those guys are really solid. I didn't really too much look at it as somebody's coming to take my spot, because it's going to be competition everywhere. Whether we took receivers or whether we, you know, got somebody from another team, you're going to have to compete regardless. So
compete within yourself, right? Yeah, that's what they preach
around. That's all it is, you know, and at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. You know, you can't really worry about a numbers game, because once you do that, then you're not focused on your job. So I just try to stay focused, you know, keep my eyes forward, and just let everything play out. Just put myself in the best situation that I can.
Is it nice to have two more guys for Coach Sullivan to be over there berating about something they didn't practice? And it's not you, and you go back to your rookie year, you go, yeah, I remember getting that speech about 50 times.
No, it's actually good. Like I actually told him, like, man, I don't think you realize, like, what kind of situation you just got yourself into dealing with Sully. You know, this is one of the best receiver coaches that you're going to play for, you know. And like I said, I was blessed to come in and actually realize that when I got here. You know, I didn't really notice it at first until you start hearing everybody talk about how long he's been around the league and who his track record, you know, all the players that he coached that he had. And it's just like, you know, I'm getting coached by maybe, you know, possibly go down the best wide receiver coach in the world. Why not take advantage of it? You know, and those guys, everybody in that room, we buy into everything that he says, just because he'll go to bat for us. You know, it's kind of like our guardian right there.
It's funny. He may be the best, and he doesn't mind letting you know he may be the best as well, because he comes in here last week and he said, I don't care who they haven't been coached by me yet. That's his thing. I don't care where they came from. They haven't been coached by Jerry Sullivan, so they're going to learn to do it the right way no matter what kind of coaching exactly they got. And you play, obviously, your head coach is an interesting guy. His personality, Gus, is just out there. We see it every day. Tell us about your college coach, Steve Spurrier. I mean, you played for some of the bigger personalities that we've seen in recent years.
Oh, man, Coach Spurrier, he was, like I said, he was awesome to play for, too. He was just one of those guys that was just like a mastermind. Like, we would, if something wasn't working for us on offense at halftime, the adjustment would be made in the first quarter already, just waiting for halftime to come and we'll draw it up. Bang, come back, run it the first play, touchdown. It's just like, it was like clockwork. It's just something in his mind that always was ticking. Like, okay, I see this. Even if I'm on the sideline, I can see what the people in the booth can't see. So it's like, when they said he was like a mastermind, he was really like a mastermind.
Cool guy, good guy to get along with.
Oh, yeah, because he'll go to bat for you, too. I mean, you know, he doesn't mind saying what he has to say.
He doesn't.
So, like I said, it's always good to play, you know, play for a guy that always has your back, you know, game in and game out.
Settle something for us. In the locker room, was it Jadeveon or Jadeveon?
Jadeveon.
And now it's Jadeveon.
You're right. They're calling him Jadeveon or something. Yeah. They keep changing on ESPN. It's really,
I don't know. Since you were in the locker room, I thought maybe you had the inside info on that one.
Definitely
but
Jadeveon.
Chad Henne, the starter this year for you guys. How confident are you in him as we go into the season?
I am very confident in Chad Henne. You know, he led us last year. You know, we had a couple mental breakdowns. It was a lot of stuff that happened last year was just mentally just on us as a team. You know, as far as Chad goes, he's a vet. You know, he knows the offense in and out. He can run the team. Everybody responds to him well. So it's really, you know, no problem at all with Chad starting.
He looks more confident. Maybe just to me, maybe I'm not seeing what you see, but just knowing he's coming in kind of as the guy this year, he's not really competing for that top spot. Does he carry himself a little bit differently?
No. I mean, Chad is usually a consistent guy. You know, he carried himself like this last year. The team may just seem a little more upbeat. You know, everybody's a little more eager to get out there, you know, and participate and, you know, just kind of show the people that what we're made of. You know, we don't want that, you know, that same target we had on us last year. We want to turn the program around. So you might just see like a more upbeat team, and he might just be a little more upbeat just because everybody around him is. So it might just be the one difference that you see.
Ultimately, and Chad told us one of the funny lines, he said, "My job is to keep my job," right? And they drafted a quarterback third overall. He knows. I mean, ultimately, one day, Blake is going to be the guy if they got their evaluation right. So, you know, a couple days on the field doesn't tell the whole story, but what have you seen from Blake Bortles?
He's actually very poised, you know, to be coming off. You know, I know it's a lot of hype surrounding, you know, getting taken that high in the draft, but he seems to be taking it in well. And like I said, he doesn't have a problem with sitting behind Chad and learning as much as he can. So, like I said, one thing I said, just like with all the other rookies, they're like really eager. And that's the one thing that's good. They didn't come in, you know, with the big head, like, you know, I'm the guy, I'm gonna be this, I'm gonna be that. They're actually sitting back, waiting their turn, learning as much as they can. And when they step in on the practice field, you know, they do their job and they do it well.
Before we let you go, Ace, going back to last year, take us through the touchdown pass one more time.
Well, basically, we have been working on it for a while, you know. And that week of the Houston game, they told us, you know, well, the player's alive, you know, for this game. So from that point there, you know, everybody was excited and stuff. But we didn't know when it was going to get called. So, you know, I'm just kind of on the side. Well, not even on the sideline. It was kind of like a no-huddle play, just a scramble play. So we would just, you know, run a regular play and then scramble to it or whatever. And it was just like, it took me back to actually our ECU game when I played my last year at South Carolina. I actually did the same type of pass, but I threw it to a receiver, D.L. Moore. And that's all. It took me back that way. And like I said, like when I caught it, my first thing was just get it out. Get it out. He was wide open. It was like, get it out, you know. And I kind of got it off late. I was just praying when it was in the air, like, just beat DJ, you know, because it was on Swearinger. So just like beat DJ. And when he caught it, I was just, you know, it was just like a relief. Like, okay, now it's still going to be alive in the playbook, because I know if it would have been incomplete, that would have got trashed. And that
it would have been the last time you threw a pass.
The last time I threw a pass.
This franchise,
the last time I threw a pass.
How cool is that, though, that Jet Fish will call those kind of plays for you guys? I mean, over the last month of the season, you guys ran 4 or 5 of those types of plays.
I mean, it keeps the defense, you know, on the heels. They got to play honest, you know, with everything, because the ball could be going anywhere, you know. So it's kind of like they really have to play their keys on defense, not cheat. Don't try to tilt to anything. You see a hint here, a hint there. They can't really take it because they don't know where the ball is going. So it helps out a lot. It helps out a lot.
All right, last thing. We know you got to get out to practice this morning. We appreciate your time. Just talk about your role in the return game this year. Do you see yourself as this team's primary punt returner? Is that a goal for you to lock down that job as the guy at that spot?
Yes, sir. That's definitely a goal. Like I said, when I came in, when I got drafted, I thought I'd be more of a return guy my first year. But that's really like my bread and butter, and I really want to, you know, turn around like better than we had last year. You know, I need to work on getting vertical, getting the first 10 yards at least, and making it happen from there. But definitely I'll be working very hard this off season, through all the OTAs, training camps, to just solidify that spot.
No, we can't get into specifics. You've looked good to me, at least, out there the first couple of days of practice, man. We appreciate you stopping by, and best of luck in a big second season, Ace.
No problem. Thank you so much.
All right, Ace Sanders of the Jacksonville Jaguars. More Jaguars today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, David Garrard rejoins us next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars today. She's got the LA theme going for you today, Lauren Brooks. Always tricky. There's really never a song I think she uses for no particular reason.
No.
Everything's always got a theme. And you got Bortles, Lee, and Robinson at the rookie premiere out in LA. If you miss Jaguars today live, if you can't listen live, hopefully you're listening right now via some other means. We archive the show at 1010XL.com. Go to the on-demand section. You can also go to Jaguars.com in their media section and download a podcast. Listen at your leisure. And if you also want to just follow along with some of the quotes, our friends at Big Cat Country do a pretty good job keeping up with a lot of the highlights of the interviews and our guest hosts, including David Garrard, who they say hello, Dave. They said, always enjoy you on the program because you're always good for a few memorable quotes along the way. Not afraid to start a dumpster fire on somebody. That's my words, not theirs. Dave speaks his mind. We appreciate him stopping by. Today, we ask people to speak their mind on Ace Sanders. Dave, for you, you got a guy who is going into year two. He's going to feel more comfortable. The quarterback's going to feel more comfortable throwing to him, but you also have more competition. How do you see it going for Ace Sanders this year?
Well, I see him being one of those slot receivers that, you know, can get out there on third downs. And you know, with today's game, guys are always in and out of the lineup. Guys are always hurt. So you need those kind of guys. You need those guys that you can rely on, that, you know, you can just stick in four or five plays a game and they're still impactful. But then also he's good in the return game too. So there's ways for him to get on the field, definitely. And the more times he gets on the field, the more plays he makes, the more he'll make his presence known. And if he can just be a guy that, gives everybody confidence and never makes mistakes and always catches the ball when they're there, then he'll keep getting on the field more and more.
Tony, for you, what do you see from Ace Sanders this year?
I think the numbers will probably be a little bit down from where they were last year. They had to rely on him more than I think even they wanted to. And what they did in the second round this year with Leanne Robinson is a reflection of they don't want to have to rely on Ace Sanders. They want it to be Cecil and one of these other big guys, and he's a guy that they can use in special situations, those screens, that kind of thing that he's been really good at during his time in college and even last year, and in special teams where he can be a star. And you wonder if having to play that much more than he was expected to last year may have affected what he was doing on special teams, which is what they drafted him to be. And you bring in those other guys, it can just allow him to maybe fit into the role that they had for him. I think he's a dynamic playmaker with the ball in his hands. But his numbers are going to be down because there's bigger, more impactful guys now in this offense than there were last year.
He described it as his bread and butter, his receiving game, you know, his impact he can bring in the punt return game. And kind of surprising, and maybe you're right, maybe 51 receptions, that workload kept the number down. But his average per return, 5.6 yards.
I know.
You know, you can almost double that. I think if you're a top-flight returner in the National Football League, or at least push it up towards 10, then you're making an impact. You know, you're going to have your 2- and 3-yard returns. You're going to have your fair catches. Bust off the occasional long one, Dave. I mean, it's been so long since this team has had a consistent threat. Your days here, they were trying everybody.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody between
punt and
kickoff. I
think I got out there one time.
You might have. Theismann used to do it. Why not you? I mean, you know, so if he can be nothing more than that, if he can be a 20-to-30 catch guy, with the other, meaning that Robinson and Lee and Shorts are having that impact, Mercedes in the passing game, but he can give you that 10 yards per return and be your full-time high-volume punt returner. I think the Jags would take that right now.
Yeah, if he can just focus on punt returning, that's going to help him out so much because he does not have to think about all the other things that come with being a receiver, too. Now, he's still going to have to be able to step out there. Like I say, guys get hurt all the time. They cramp. They need five wide, whatever it is. They're going to need him at receiver at some point. But when he can just focus on being a returner, now he can just play with that energy, that excitement, that, you know, ability that he knows, I can take this to the house. I don't have to worry about running right back out there on the field and, you know, being ready to catch a pass from Chad.
And not only did he catch a lot of passes, he caught him at a position I'm playing on the outside that he probably never expected to really play. He expected to be a slot guy, maybe a third down guy. And because of circumstances, you know, Blackman and just injuries and things happen, they had to use him. And that can't hurt him. going into year two, I mean, that experience is only going to help.
It definitely will help him. It definitely will help because now taking that role of just, you know, being more of a punt returner, when he gets thrown out there, he won't be that far behind on being able to make plays. And hopefully he'll be able to just step right in and make some big plays. When you're a smaller, shiftier guy, that's a prime spot for you to be in the slot position. And trying to put him outside, the further away he gets from the quarterback, the smaller he gets. So that's what you have to think when a guy's lined up on the outside. That's why you want big, tall guys, because the further you get away, the smaller you get from the quarterback and the smaller your target is. You need to be in that slot where you're working on linebackers, working on safeties, guys that you know that you can make look foolish.
You know, it's interesting. I saw Earl Thomas of the Seahawks talking about playing against Terrell Pryor now in practice. And he goes, the one thing we're able to do now is get a bead on where that ball's coming out. He goes, because playing against Russell Wilson, you know, you talk about, does Russell Wilson have trouble seeing over the line? They can't see
hiding,
him.
Yeah.
They can't see him. And he goes,
yeah,
I have a real problem picking up the ball coming out of Russell Wilson's hands. You know, so being smaller can have its advantages, as Ace pointed out as well. You know, you're not going to be as big of a target. It's going to be tougher to hit in those corners. They'd rather have a big, slow guy like me to try and cover. All right, Tony, some of the feedback we got today included what?
A few of the things we got on Twitter from Jags Brothers. We got Ace will have fewer catchers but greater impact because Jags are a better team and he can specialize more. 5 to 7 touchdowns, hashtag Jaguars today. From Jason, we got same catches or less but bigger impact with big plays and touchdowns. More open real estate, hashtag Ace in the holes and hashtag Jaguars today. From another Jason, we got huge. He's going to be the next big thing in punt returners and embarrassing folks. Field position for days. Hashtag
I like that.
Jaguars today. I do too. From Dusty, Ace will have a great season in the slot and punt return touchdowns are in his future. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Paul, number of the beast. 60 catches, 600 yards, 6 touchdowns. Hashtag Jaguars today.
The hashtag is sprouting like a weed, and we appreciate you using that. It makes it easier for us to find your responses. From Facebook today, John Daraskovich said, 3 punt return TDs, splitting time and slot receiver, Pro Bowl punt returner, along with anger, your Pro Bowl punter. Jags equal best special teams in the league. George Weirich said he'll have a better year this year because he has other offensive weapons, such as the guys we pointed out, Lee Robinson, Gerhardt. Take some of the spotlight off him, allow him to get open and make plays. Hashtag Jaguars today. Alan Lynn said more punt returns, fewer catches and yards, and total TDs. Perhaps, though, more impact when used. Fresh legs, more reverses and trick plays as well. And Corey Kilmoves, Kilkenny, about 60 catches for about 750. It's going to be more wide receivers to spread the ball around to this year, but he still should improve his numbers. Hashtag Jaguars today. A sampling of some of the responses every day. Give you a chance to get a Jaguars Today t-shirt. We'll award one a little bit later on via social media. So if you tweeted us or posted on the Facebook page, look for us to get in touch with you later today. We'll pick a winner. Today, we're going to wrap up the show here in the next 15 minutes, head out and catch the second half of the third OTA practice of the week. Dave, when you go out there, it'd be your first time out there for OTAs. You're out there for rookie minicamp. As a veteran NFL player, what will you be looking for today?
Well, you know, being a former quarterback, I'm definitely going to be looking at the quarterback position, seeing what they do, seeing what Chad is doing, seeing how he's getting the ball out of his hands, seeing how the receivers are making catches. I want to be able to catch up with Mercedes and say what's up to him, you know, see how he's running around out there. And then also always look at the DBs, secondary, seeing how they're covering, seeing how they react to the ball, see if anybody can get their hand on the ball.
You're just like us. And I mean, when I say you come from the quarterback perspective, but when we watch OTAs and it's a non-contact practice, and hopefully we might get a chance to talk to Gus about this tomorrow, I find it very hard to evaluate what's going on with the offensive line, the defensive line.
I mean, there's nothing to evaluate. They're in shorts. So
what are they getting? What are they accomplishing?
They're just working on their fundamentals. So they're working on footwork. They're working on hand placement. They're seeing the DNs come off, and they're timing things up. But they're not plowing into them. They're not driving anybody to the ground. So they're working on things. They're working on leverage, that kind of stuff. But that's not what we want to see. We want to see the ball in the air. We want to see guys making catches.
We want to see pre-spirals.
Pre-spirals.
Touchdowns.
Exactly.
The whole thing.
Deep passes.
You drop one, give us 10, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
A guy like Toby Gerhardt, and Gus kind of brought this up yesterday, tough for him to shine because he's a guy that is really going to do his damage when he's got 15 carries under his belt.
Yeah.
You know, and he's wearing you down.
But you can still see how he carries the ball. You can see how explosive he is. You know, he's not going to be the fastest guy, but you can just tell when somebody's coming downhill if that linebacker is really going to make that play, or is he going to, you know, get hit and probably, you know, fall forward for another 3 or 4 yards. So you're not going to see him run anybody over. Hopefully we won't. But, you know, you can still get an idea of how imposing his will will be.
Yeah, Tony brought this up earlier before the show, and we haven't had a chance to get into it, but you see a guy like Sean Lee go down in Dallas, torn ACL, done for the year. When you see that, are you guys – is that on your radar when you're a player and you're out there? Are you, you know, Gus said he's constantly telling these guys to the point where they're like, thanks, Dad, you know, that really be careful. Don't send a teammate to the ground. Avoid running, you know, protect each other as much as you protect yourself. How aware are you in at this time of year, especially when you're getting some good work done, but this is not nearly as important as what's to come?
Absolutely. You definitely see those guys. You see guys go down, and especially when it starts to be, you know, kind of one after the other, you really are thinking about it, and you are saying stuff like, hey, it's only May. You know, we don't need to be diving to the ground trying to catch balls. I tell my receivers all the time, you know, if the ball's not there, please don't dive for it, because it's May. We don't need this right now. Let's make it to training camp. Let's keep everybody healthy. Let's make it to open day. Just because it is May, you're in shorts, and you don't want to be that guy that is being carried off the field right now.
But tough to tell that to an undrafted rookie who's trying to stand out, right?
Undrafted rookies, they have to go out and make
those
plays.
Do the vets avoid them like the plague? Like, oh, here he comes, man.
Usually they're working with a second or third quarterback, so, you know, they have to go make some plays. You want to see them make some plays because they're not guaranteed a spot, and, you know, not really – actually, not a lot of guys are guaranteed spots, but, you know, those guys that are, you know, first, second round guys like that, you don't want to see them doing that. Veteran guys, you don't want to see doing that. Well, they won't do it because they've been there and done that. They're smart enough not to do it. But, so you just have to be smart. There's a lot of times defensive guys, safeties and linebackers, it's tough for them to stop, and it's kind of ingrained in them to make a hit. So you have to be smart. You have to think, you know, this is shorts. The guy is in the air trying to make this catch. It may make me look a little bad. I could go up and attack the ball really hard and knock it out. But I have to think about my teammate here. And, you know, hopefully my coach will see that I could have made that play and give me the benefit of the doubt.
All right. He is David Garrard, a longtime quarterback for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks today to J.P. Shadrick, who tonight with Jeff Logman and Tony Vaselli will bring you Jaguars Thursday at 6 o'clock right here on 1010XL. Thanks to Ace Sanders and Allen Robinson for all stopping by. Good luck to Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, and Marquise Lee bouncing on the Sealy Posturepedics as they pose for their action shots for their rookie cards. That does it for us. Getting you ready for XL Primetime coming up next. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, Lauren Brooks, Fat Tony, and David Garrard. I'm Mike Dempsey, and we'll be back with more Jaguars today bright and early tomorrow morning here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.